is the great mystery that's presented to us all, in terms of even our own spiritual life. A question which we have to ponder, both in our hearts and in our minds. God, why do you love me? Why do you love me? Why do you care about this imperfect, this oftentimes person who does things that are contrary to what you call and direct us to in this life? Why do you love me? And here in the examples that we had in terms of both the readings as well as the examples in the gospel, we have a sense of a God who searches us out, who shakes us at our very core, who loves us with a generosity that we cannot even begin to comprehend, but we know is there, and we know is a sign and symbol of his love. In about 1970, there was an individual, Eric Siegel, who wrote a book called The Love Story. And I mentioned that because it was turned into basically a movie, because from that love story, there was one of the most quotable quotes of all 100 quotes in movie history. One of the most quotable quotes was taken out of there. And it, of course, everybody here who's a little older remembers, it says, love means you never have to say you're sorry. What nonsense. What nonsense. And why? Because love demands that we take a look at our own life. Love demands that we understand the responsibility that comes in our relationship. Love demands that we take stock of what we do in relationship to reflect the one who loves us. And sorry? Absolutely. Sorry for the times that we have failed to live up to the expectation of that love. Sorry, yes, absolutely. For the times that we failed to appreciate that we are loved. Sorry? Yes. And that sorrow leads us to a deeper understanding of the great relationship that we have. And that relationship ultimately is a relationship with God. Our patron here, St. John the Evangelist, defines God. Defines, does not a characteristic, defines God. Says God is love. And when you enter into that aspect of love, when you enter into that understanding of love, you are literally being enveloped by God. And that's why that love is so important. Love first and foremost with our God, which keeps us on track to understand the divine and spiritual aspect of love, but then love of neighbor, and even love of self, to understand and to appreciate the great gift of life that's been given to each and every one of us. In each of the readings today and the gospel, we see where individuals, such as the community in terms of Exodus, turned their back on God. This God who took them out of Egypt. This God who made them free. Now they turn their back on this God because he's not serving their purpose. Rather than remembering and celebrating and understanding. In the second reading, we have Paul, who realizes that he's been plucked from a life that does not understand and know Jesus, a person he persecutes in the persecution of the brothers and sisters of the church, and now through the encounter of the resurrected Jesus, now comes to know Christ. His own life is going to be a life of imprisonment, of being flogged, of being beaten, being shipwrecked, of being rejected, and eventually beheaded. And he embraces it with gratitude. Oh, Imagine any one of us who said, here's your life. Your life's going to be such and such and in this manner, and this is the type of suffering, and you say, bring it on. The only way you can make that statement of bring it on is if you understand it's love that motivates and drives you. It's the love of Christ. The love of God. And now you have that power to share it. And Paul is so grateful for the ability to share that love despite every physical and emotional torture that he will go through. Why? Love. Love's at the basis of this. And now we come to Jesus using those three examples. And one might say, I understand all three of them are similar in the sense it's the generous love of God that's reaching out. Do you know, I'd like to emphasize the relationship of the individuals to God, to that activity. In the first one, that first sheep is foolish. It decides to wander off. It has no appreciation for what's happening in that sheep's life. It goes off without any understanding of consequence, without any understanding of relationship, without understanding of belonging. And is the shepherd who goes out and brings that sheep back. How many within our community are individuals who are foolish, who turn away from Christ and His church? Who do so without much of an understanding, without any kind of pursuit about the relationship. But yet it's God who reaches out and touches them because the core of every one of our beings, we find that mystery of the spiritual, that longing for the Lord, that longing to be united with Him. Here we come to the woman with the coins, and we have to do a little speculation and throw ourselves into that one. Why is she so concerned about a coin? Now, for some, it says that coin sometimes is about the value of a day's labor, day's wage. Coins, oftentimes, those coins were part of a bandana that went around the head or was a decorative for a woman in terms of her marriage. It was almost like a little bit of a dowry and all these things. But what if you do a little speculation, it was a real sense, a memento, a remembrance of what she had, much like a wedding ring. You imagine those who have a sense and appreciation for their relationship and then lose the wedding ring. Lose something which is very valuable to yourself. Maybe not to the world, but to yourself. You're beside yourself in trying to regain it. Here she is, sweeping the floor, lighting lamps. Then she discovers the one coin. Ah, the rejoice, the relief. It's almost representative of something that she might have lost. How many of us think in terms of and are negligent in terms of understanding our faith? How many of us are negligent when it comes to appreciating what we have, celebrating what we have, understanding with great gratitude, holding on to that relationship with God in and of His church? And then there's the third, obviously the most notable of all of them, the prodigal son. We've all celebrated that prodigal son in one way or another. And of course we have the two sons in the story. The prodigal son, who has intentionally turned his back on the father. There are those within our own community who have turned their back on God. No doubt about it. They've turned their back on God. When they come to their senses, and it's interesting in terms of the prodigal son, he comes to his senses not because he realizes the loss of the love of the father or the relationship. He realizes because his stomach is empty. He wants to eat. And he knows his father has a great deal of food. How generous is the love of our God that touches our lives in so many different ways, that through the hunger that we have for the food of his love begins to have individuals transform their lives. And I have been graced in my own priesthood and as a bishop to hear the stories of individuals who have come to that transformation, who have come to that understanding, who've hungered for the food and the love of God and suddenly discovered that the only way to do that is to reform their lives, to become different. And then there's a good son. The good son who should have always realized he had the gift of the Father. He had the love which was present. And you can see the gentle father throwing his arm around his son and said, "Don't you realize everything I have is yours?" I would offer to you that for most of us, that's us. That's us. We come every Sunday to Mass. We fast at appointed times. We follow the rules and the regulations. And oftentimes our response to the God who loves us generously is, "What have you done for me, Lord? What have you done for me? Don't you realize I love you? Don't you realize I love you? Why me?" Sons, daughters, it's a gift. And appreciate the gift. We will go to the altar, and Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, will become that food that fills our bellies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.